All right, Bitmag, today is Wednesday, June 3rd. Welcome to the Dog Walk presented by Barstool Sports. We got a little bit of a part two today, Chief. You're back. If you didn't listen yesterday, it's about Jeffrey Epstein, the documentary that just came out on Netflix. So pause this, go listen to that first part and hop back in here. Before we hop into part two, though, Chief, I do want to talk about Miller Lite. You just moved the other day, right?
Yeah, moved Monday, June 1st. And, you know, I had three movers, so I didn't have to do much heavy lifting myself, which was great. And, you know, to reward, a hard day's work, I had three Miller Lights left in my fridge. I gave it to the three guys. You know, we all kind of sat on the deck. Everybody had a beer. It was like, you know, they struck gold. Yeah, like they would have rather had that Miller Lite than if I gave them $100.
Yeah, Miller Lite. Why? Mm-hmm. Water, you're going to take the Miller Lite.
Yeah.
That's what you want. Why do you prefer Miller Lite? Is there a certain reason?
It's the taste. It's less filling. It's just like, I love that can. Like, it just feels like people have been having this for forever. It's like part of our culture at this point, just have a nice cold Miller Lite on a hot summer day. There's nothing better than it.
Oh yeah, you're exactly right. I'm sure those dudes were like, yeah, Miller Lite, this is a great move.
It's like
for
the perfect reward after hard labor. It really is.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So Miller Lite, it is the original light beer. While you're home, make sure you enjoy a classic. It's available for delivery today. Go to their website, MillerLite.com. You could see all the third-party delivery drivers that will take it to your place. So celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. All right, Chief, you ready to hop into part two?
Let's do it.
He was just almost like a Ted Bundy type con man, you know? Like all these people, like the Victoria's Secret guy Wexner, he was like, he trusts me with everything.
Yeah.
You know, they have a quote from Trump there when they're with Mar-a-Lago. They're like, he's a great guy. Mm-hmm. Like he just seems like he knew how to fucking be a personable guy that people liked.
That was one part of it that was confusing to me, because you definitely, you had a lot of people saying that he was this personable guy, very charming. And then you had other people saying that he's at his core, he's an introvert. Like he's socially awkward and he's shy. So it's like, this guy is just like obviously a sociopath, but it's like, how can you be both things at the same time? And I don't know. So that part to me was a little bit bizarre.
Well, to get things you want, I mean, maybe he had to come out of his shell for that kind of shit.
Or maybe he could just be a totally different person. Like he had like his true self, maybe his true self was more of an introvert. And they said he liked being a man of mystery. Like they, you know, people compared him to like the Great Gatsby. It's like, who's this guy? Like we always hear his name. And that's what's really started the thing with Vanity Fair with two of the victims. It started off as like a culture piece. And they were going to do this article about Jeffrey Epstein because his name is everywhere. He's at all these, you know, highfalutin New York City socialite parties, you know, with Trump and these, you know, knows the Clintons and, you know, name a fucking person in New York City. Jeffrey Epstein has their number. And, but he was a man of mystery. So they're like, hey, let's do this piece. And then they like found the two girls. The one girl was the artist who also was like his secretary.
Maria Farmer
and her sister, Annie Farmer. Annie Farmer. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, they were both assaulted. And that they were interviewed for this. And when they were going to be included in this piece, it was like, holy shit. Like what this turned out, started off as a puff piece. Now it's like going to go after him. So when Vanity Fair went to, Jeffrey Epstein for comment, he's like, you know, I don't know anything about that. This is bullshit. And don't you fucking dare print that. Like I'll end you. I'll ruin you. They had the editor of the magazine. He lived in Connecticut. He returned home. There was like a dead cat, a severed cat head on his front door.
A bullet. Yeah.
Then they had the journalist herself who had interviewed the Farmer sisters and she was pregnant. And Ghislaine Maxwell calls her up and says, I know what hospital you're going to. I know all the doctors there. In fact, I know all the doctors in New York. Just so you know, you might want to drop this story. So like all like threatening a woman's like unborn children. Unbelievable. And eventually they were going to submit this piece anyways. Vanity Fair, like the editorial board, said that it didn't meet their legal threshold for running that article. So that's some interesting cover, but who knows who influenced them into pulling that piece of the art. So the article comes out, the Farmer sisters are like waiting to go get it to read it. Like maybe we can finally get some justice out of this. all their quotes and stuff are nowhere to be found. It turns out to be the puff piece that it was always intended to be.
Yeah. Now, listen, neither of us are libel experts here.
Yeah.
But is there any perspective that that could be true?
Like that didn't meet their legal threshold?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah. And even if it, because if you're publishing something and it's something like this and you know who it's about, you know you're getting sued. Like, you have to have that tighter than a gnat's ass, right? To to go. So that, like, I don't know what to say about it. It's hard to know like what happened behind the scenes, and does he have, you know, power and control over everybody and blackmail on everybody? And that was like another thing that came out of this, the level that he would go to for blackmail, that they would show like the place in Florida had like this kind of cement stucco finishing in the walls, so you have like all these tiny little holes everywhere, and there are just cameras in every single room. So you come over and he's got the girls here and you do something, he's got you, because every single room is on camera. And he was in like this vault, he kept all that stuff in like a vault where he would be able to sit there and watch who was doing what, and then he had you. So they said that, yeah, same setup in New Mexico, same setup in the Virgin Islands, same setup in New York City.
And that's where the people who install this shit, because the workers were, you know, they knew something was going down.
Had to.
Because they interviewed, you know, the landscapers. Mm-hmm. They interviewed, you know, people who just did maintenance on the house.
The telecommunications guy in the Virgin Islands.
Yes. And everybody was timid.
Yeah.
On the police recordings.
Yeah.
Like, timid. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Like, they knew who they were messing
with. I don't want to be a part of, I don't really want anything to do with this. I don't want him to come after me. And don't blame him, because he has a long history of coming after people and threatening people. They said the one farmer sister, the older one, she moved like all over the country, and then she would get settled. She'd be there for 3 weeks. She'd pick up the phone. It was Ghislaine Maxwell. Like, I know where you are. So the level that they would go to threaten these women after they had already abused them was absolutely sickening.
Yeah, and it should be noted as well, like, that's how you, maybe, okay, the Vanity Fair, maybe that is true about the whole libel suit, but they were also failed by people who said they knew this guy.
Yeah.
Because that's when it, like, very, very start of the whole doc, Maria Farmer, she said, I don't know if it was a school or if it was just an art company she worked for, but she had three paintings.
Yep.
And they had sellers for 12 grand, 12 grand and 14 grand or something like that.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you got to take those off the market. This is my friend Jeff. He's a big donor to the program, big donor to the school, whatever.
He's buying.
He's buying it for $6,000. Yeah, yeah, $6,000. And she was like, whoa, like, this is half the price, but you know, whatever. And she's like, well, don't worry. Like, this will be beneficial to you in the end. Like, how much did that fucking lady know? You know,
it's like impossible to know. It's like everybody, and like the types of paintings, like they confiscated a lot of these paintings, are like, what the fuck? Like, they're
weird.
They're weird. It's basically like artistic child porn in a way.
Yes.
You know, like, it's nude girls who are like, I don't know, like early teens. And it's just like, this is very, very bizarre to have this much stuff. And he's got like a weird, like Jesus cross thing in one of his bedrooms in Mexico. It like, the visuals were just very, the whole documentary is disturbing.
Yeah definitely. And she said, I mean, for what it's worth, I don't, Daily Mail, I never know, is that one that's it's reputable or not, do you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, like, the Daily Mail, it was actually, I think, started by Ghislaine Maxwell's dad.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure that's the one originally.
Oh, fuck.
But obviously, like, he's been dead for a long time, and he actually kind of bankrupted it, and he doesn't have anything to do with it. But yeah, the Daily Mail is kind of like a, I don't know, maybe like the New York Post, like a little clickbaity. Like, I use it to find blogs. You know, so, but yeah. Like, I'm not saying that they're maybe not the, it's not the New York Times, we'll say that.
Well, she said, Maria Farmer, one of the victims, said that the victim bashing, she bashed the Netflix documentary, claiming it was disgusting and producers forced her to film while she was recovering from cancer treatments, and says they took advantage of pedophile survivors. So she must not have been happy with it either, clearly.
Yeah, but I guess not. Yeah. I mean, I didn't think she came off poorly at all.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah, and she, so. It was, and like I said, the farmer sisters were in the ABC one, and it was largely similar.
Mm-hmm.
Like yeah. It was almost identical. Mm-hmm. Maybe a couple more details, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But what else do you have here?
Yeah, I just wanted, you know, to go over the Ponzi scheme thing again, because that was like the court case initially when it got, you know, he got that sweetheart deal from Alex Acosta, who went on to be the labor secretary for Trump before he resigned over this whole thing. And Alex Acosta was just, his statement in 2011 when he was asked about it again was like, hey, like, there's no way we can win this against this team of, you know, legal experts. And it's almost, but it makes you think that maybe, you know, maybe they were blackmailed too, or he was blackmailed. Because when you talk about the Palm Beach guy, and he was a Palm Beach deputy sheriff or sheriff, whatever he was, he never like relented. Like, he's still kind of going after this. But he's like, yeah, like, there are people parked outside my house, like private investigators working for Jeffrey Epstein all the time, going through our trash, going through the Palm Beach trash, like the police department's trash. They were looking for, like, the Jeffrey Epstein's people were trying to do anything they could to get something on these people. And maybe they were able to get something on somebody in the DA's office to give them the sweetheart deal. And then part of that was like, none of his co-conspirators could ever be prosecuted. Like, what the fuck? How is that even a thing? Mm-hmm. So that would include Ghislaine Maxwell, who I think if you're following this case, like, you know her name, but there's four other ones. There's a woman called named Sarah Kellen, who's now married to a NASCAR driver, the Vickers, the NASCAR driver. That's his wife. It's kind of weird. Nadia Marcinkova, who Jeffrey Epstein described as a sex slave and then later got her a pilot's license, like funded her pilot's license. And again, these were adults. Now, not to say that they can't also be victims, but they're known as like the chief recruiters of this Ponzi scheme, because that was another thing they detailed. Was like, all right, like, how many girls did you bring in, victim A? I brought in 20. Oh, how many did this other one, like, oh, maybe 60. So it's like there's like a parade of women running through his place in Florida and New York that were getting, you know, because he had this, you know, pyramid scheme and Ponzi scheme of recruiting. And then Adriana Ross and Leslie Groff. Those are the four, along with Ghislaine. So five total. The five main, I don't know if you call them madams or recruiters or whatever. That was something else. Alan Dershowitz, the big lawyer. So the only person who would be, quote unquote, on Jeffrey Epstein's side in this whole thing. He served as Epstein's lawyer. He's worked at Harvard. He's like a very prominent lawyer. So arrogant in the documentary. He also wrote an op-ed in 1997 saying that the legal age of consent for girls should be 15. And it's like, wow, 1997, let's ask him about this while this stuff is going on. And so back July 2019, basically doubled down. And he's like, this is a constitutional, not a moral thing. And if a girl can legally get an abortion at 16, then she must be able to also give consent. It's like, no, like, ridiculous. Wow. Like, ridiculous. And then he like got so like almost bombastic at one point talking about Virginia Roberts, being like, I dare her. She's never accused me publicly. She doesn't have the guts. She knows she doesn't have anything. I dare her to accuse me publicly. And then the video cuts over to Virginia Roberts. She goes, oh yeah, I had sex with Alan Dershowitz. Like, I, you know, was paid to have sex with him. I was trafficked over to him. And then they, as like the ending screen comes out, it's like, yeah, they're both they're in a counter defamation suit. So Virginia Roberts and Alan Dershowitz are suing each other for defamation. And then, I mean, he came off like such a fucking prick in this. Yeah. Like, it's like, this guy's a scumbag.
And defended Epstein the whole time? Did he?
Yeah. I mean, like, not on a, I mean, he was his lawyer. Yeah. And he's, you know, like, he's known him for forever. And there was also like another quote in an article I read that, you know, Epstein had guided Dershowitz to invest in this particular fund. And it's going back to like the theme of Epstein being able to threaten people and coerce people. So this fund like collapsed. It was, you know, in 2007, 2008, when the whole mortgage crisis happened, that fund collapsed. And Epstein called up the fund manager. And again, this is like a sworn statement that Epstein threatened to kill his entire family if he didn't make Dershowitz whole. So whatever Dershowitz put into this fund, you better give it back to him or I'll kill your whole family.
Wow.
So like he's a fucking psychopath.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, I mean, now I guess as an update, you know, there's still all kinds of conspiracy theories out there if he like faked his death, because when they raided his place, they found like safes with fake passports and things like that. So it's like, could he have gotten out? I don't know. They had a guy come in to who was a, what do you call him, a pathologist, a forensic pathologist, be like, there's no way he killed himself like with these bone breaks, which we've talked about that before. The only bit of quote unquote good news to come from this is that, you know, 2 days before he died, Epstein transferred all of his money to an account in his basically his estate and his will to be out of the Virgin Islands, where his, you know, pedophile island was. So it was like the victims aren't going to be able to get at any of this money. And now there's a deal has been reached with the U.S. Virgin Islands that is going to allow the claimants, which are there's as many as 70 victims who are seeking damages from Epstein, even though he's dead. They're seeking damages against the estate. And it sounds like that is now going to be possible. And that's an update in like the last 48 hours.
Good.
Yeah. So that's good. Anonymous, you know, the hacker group, they had a little bit of a tidbit too that, you know, they're kind of going after Trump on this a little bit. I haven't read too much into that. But also Naomi Campbell, her name, you know, she's a famous model. Her name comes up a lot with Jeffrey Epstein. They've been photographed together. So who knows if maybe, I don't know. I don't even want to say anything about her, but she's been linked to this as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Chief, thank you.
Yeah.
As always. Yeah. It's
it's not fun.
Yeah. It's a story that,
yeah,
that kind of went away that shouldn't have, you know?
But. Yeah. And it became a meme, you know, it's like Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself, and it almost like became too much of a meme that it became a joke, and it was like, ha, ha, but actually, no, it's not funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, this is not funny. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, go watch the documentary. Let us know what you think. I think that's it for today. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will see you all tomorrow.